How would you like to put your best foot forward and join the first ever mass march for climate justice this summer? I discovered that organising the march is just one of the things that Christian Aid, an agency of the churches in the UK and in Ireland, is doing to raise awareness and to try and change the dramatic course of climate change before it's too late. Yes, climate change, the worrying reality that has slowly but steadily crept to the top of almost everyone's agenda lately, is calling out for action, fast. Even Pope Benedict XVI had strong words of warning in his Urbi et Orbi message on January the 1st, the World Day for Peace.
In recent years, new nations have entered enthusiastically into industrial production, thereby increasing their energy needs. This has led to an unprecedented race for available resources. Meanwhile, some parts of the planet remain backward and development is effectively blocked, partly because of the rise in energy prices. What will happen to those people? What kind of development or non-development will be imposed on them by the scarcity of energy supplies? What injustices and conflicts will be provoked by the race for energy sources? And what will be the reaction of those who are excluded from this race? These are questions that show how respect for nature is closely linked to the need to establish, between individuals and between nations, relationships that are attentive to the dignity of the person and capable of satisfying his or her authentic needs. The destruction of the environment, its improper or selfish use, and the violent hoarding of the Earth's resources cause grievances, conflicts, and wars, precisely because they are the consequences of an inhumane concept of development. Indeed, if development were limited to the technical economic aspect, obscuring the moral religious dimension, it would not be an integral human development, but a one-sided distortion, which would end up by unleashing man's destructive capacities.
It's not the first time I have focused my attention on this issue, and most probably it will not be the last. Personally, I'm worried about the situation and wouldn't mind putting my best foot forward this summer if I can. I called up Christian Aid in London for more information and was put on to campaigns officer Jenny Dawkins, who started off by telling me more about the march.
It's going to start in Belfast on the 14th of July and winds all the way down through Scotland, England, Wales and ends in London on the 2nd of October. So it's a total of 81 days, 1,000 miles, and we're looking for 20 people in total to march the whole distance.
Oh, I see. So you're going to have some core marchers and other people participating along the way?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes, we're hoping for 10 people from the UK and Ireland to march the whole way. And they'll be joined by marchers from the developing world, from people from countries that are already being affected by climate change. And all the way down the country, they'll be telling their stories and encouraging more and more people to get involved. So there'll be key parts of the march where hundreds and thousands of people can join.
I see here that you've also put out some letters of recruitment to various religious denominations. Who do you hope to involve?
Yeah, that's right. Because Christian Aid is an agency of the UK and Irish churches in these countries, we wanted to involve our church partners and to make sure that the marchers from the UK and Ireland are really representative of our base of support. So we're going out to those denominations and seeking a range of marchers from a number of different religious Christian traditions. So we're really hoping that there'll be a real mix that we attract. And because the letters have just gone out, we're sort of waiting to see what the response is now.
And why a march?
Why march?
Yes. There are a lot of ways of making awareness campaigns. This is an awareness effort. So why choose a march?
Well, really, it's because of the tremendous history that protest marches have, not just in the UK, but all around the world. In this country, the Jarrow marches right back in the 1930s, when unemployed people marched from Newcastle to London to draw attention to their plight. A Nelson Mandela Freedom March organised by the Anti-Apartheid Campaign about 20 years ago. And it's a real act of witness for people of faith and goodwill to take to their feet and march when they witness staggering injustice. And because climate change is such a staggering injustice for the poorest people in the world, we felt that we want to do something dramatic and visual and something to take throughout the whole length and breadth of the country. And also there's the advantage that obviously marching is entirely climate neutral. It's something which doesn't burn any carbon, and so we're practicing what we preach as we march.
You were warning that climate change is the most serious threat to the future of all of us, but it's especially the poor people in the developing world who are already on the front line of climate chaos.
Yeah, that's right. Christian Aid's partners in the poorest countries of the world have been telling us for a number of years that they're experiencing dramatic and disastrous changes in their climate. People in East Africa, for example, are finding crops increasingly difficult to grow, and we have stories from Kenyan pastoralists who are having to completely change their lifestyles because keeping cattle is no longer sustainable. There simply isn't the water. On the other hand, we have people in Bangladesh who are repeatedly being thrown out of their homes by the floods which come year after year. We have people who in Latin America, for example, are experiencing more and more extreme weather events like hurricanes and storms, which can devastate livelihoods and indeed lives. And research that Christian Aid has been doing over the last few years demonstrates that about 182 million people are at further risk of climate-related diseases as a result of the way the climate's changing. And really, the time has come that we need to put our feet down and say enough is enough. Poor people are suffering today because of the carbon emissions from the rich world, and it's time for us to take action on that.
Well, I certainly thought twice before printing that email. In fact, I didn't print it at all. And I am aware, and try to take action in many small ways everyday living allows me to. By switching off my computer and the television, by trying to use my car as little as possible, and investing in a greener scooter which causes less pollution. And even although I most certainly can't afford to take 3 months off to do the whole march, I'd still like to participate. Let's briefly talk about the march again. Can anyone participate?
Well, the core marchers that are going down the country, we'd invite them to look at our website to see what we're looking for and to apply, because we do want to attract a whole variety of marchers to do the whole 3 months, the whole 1,000 miles down the country. So look at our website on www.christianaid.org.uk for interest in that. But people who aren't able to commit 3 months, there are still going to be lots of opportunities to take part all the way down the country, because we're travelling all the way from Belfast all the way down to London. People will be able to come to the section of the march nearest to them, and a map will be going on the website before very long, and join in with a section that they can do.
I'm thinking back to Pope Benedict XVI's powerful words. They are strong and clear. But having listened to the Pope for almost 2 years now since his installation, I'm very aware they are the fruit of deep knowledge and careful thinking. I wonder what Australian Bishop Christopher Toohey, a champion of ecology and one of the first to voice his concern about climate change, thinks about the Pope's words and his call for respect for nature.
It may sound that I'd say this because I'm a bishop, but I can tell you as a human being, I think what Pope Benedict has been saying has been magnificent in the sense that he is very concerned about people's thinking. He says we share the divine mind. Intelligence is a gift from God, which mirrors God's intelligence. And unless we use that to see things the way God does, to think the way God does, and therefore to act the way God does, then we cannot fulfill our vocation as human beings. I think that that is a very simple message and a very powerful one. Often I think that we have thought that we can invest everything in our technological powers. I sometimes think that we behave as if we're God. But we're not God. And God is God. And I didn't ask to be born. I've got no control over the fact that I was born and given life. I will die one day. I will leave this planet. I've got some control, I suppose, over that if I live reasonably healthily and don't abuse myself. But the fact that I'm going to die is a certainty. I rely on the goodness of God and God's patience and God's providence for life and for forgiveness and for the promise of eternity. So who am I to carry on as if I'm God? It's stupid. It just doesn't make sense. You know, it's a nonsense. And so we need to have that change of mind and heart. It's not just a matter of me keeping the light on in the room I'm in or making sure I use water responsibly or, you know, be careful about how I even drive my car. All of those things I can do, but unless they stem from an attitude that really this is God's creation and I'm part of it, then I think that we, in the long run, we just won't have the motivation to do what's required. I think it's a deeply spiritual question, and from that will flow our ethical concerns, from that will flow our relational concerns for other nations, especially poorer countries, who will suffer very greatly if climate change becomes a reality that is unchecked. We'll have environmental refugees, so it's also a social justice issue. It'll be an issue of dealing with a certain amount of displacement of the world's peoples, perhaps even on an unprecedented scale. All of these things, though, must stem from a deeply spiritual response to God, to God's love, and to God's providence.